Intuition, by definition, is a thought before your brain overcomplicates it. I believe intuition is the roadmap to your personal happiness and success. Allow this awesome conversation to inspire you to just be more of you. I'm your host, Jimmy Ward Mize, and welcome to Inspired by Jimmy L.
Lit. Okay. And oh, Lord, we're going to be lit on episode 16. All righty, everyone. Welcome to another wonderful conversation, another positivity conversation here on with Inspired by Jimmy L. I'm your host, Jimmy Ward Mize, and today we have a Mr. Dave Body. Mr. Dave, would you please introduce yourself?
You know, first of all, you said my name correctly, and I appreciate that because I've had it mispronounced so many times.
I almost said Body again. Yeah. I really did. I almost did.
It's natural. I understand it. So, yeah, I'm the founder of the BU Heroes community, and within that, I'm also a motivational speaker as well as a youth coach. And on the side, I do some screenplay writing for movies. I do some columnist writing for magazines. So I basically keep myself very busy.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, how long have you been doing, because you're a youth coach, right?
Correct.
How long have you been doing that?
I officially started in 2012. And long story short, I just exited rehab for my brain injury. I got diagnosed with permanent brain damage due to 15 severe concussions. And as a result of that, I battled depression for 16 years, suicide 3 times. I have shoulder arthritis, tendonitis, bursitis. I got neck injuries. I got back injuries. So what happened was when I had my 15th concussion, I had to retire from security and bodyguard work. And I realized that I couldn't chase my policing dream. I couldn't chase my professional wrestling dream, but I had a huge passion with helping kids in security. I dealt with a lot of kids that were in prostitution and gangs and drugs and just troubled youth. And I spent 4 years at a mall working there, helping them. So when I had to retire, I felt, you know what? What can I do that allows me to have a platform to reach out to these kids? Because I did a lot of research and I realized there's a lot of cyberbullying. So, yeah. You know what, maybe I'll put my attention there for these kids. So I started sharing my story with bullying and cyberbullying, how I dealt with it myself. And if I'm liking it, people were sharing it, people were sharing their stories with me. And to be quite honest with you, I learned through my struggles with my rehab that when you help others heal, it helps yourself heal tremendously. Mm-hmm, and I started to realize that when I built this community, the kids were just attractive to it. Like they were just like right on it because finally they had a platform where they can speak and not be judged and supported. And then I started coaching 6 youths. And those 6 youths became the first BU Heroes that were inducted in 2012 forward. Now we're at 67 BU Heroes, which is 67 youths that I've inducted as basically they're youths that have become an amazing source of inspiration to youths around the world through their arts, through their passion. Because I found that as an adult speaking to youths, they tend to have a listening span, but then they drift away because, you know, I'm just an adult. So I realized that youths inspire youths tremendously. Like when I see a 13-year-old looking at a 15-year-old who is a successful actress for Disney, they're inspired by that 15-year-old actress. And I'm like, this community has to be built by inspiration tremendously.
So you, and I don't want to use this word because I feel like it's going to be taken the wrong way, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Oh, just say it, buddy.
You sort of infiltrate I guess I'm going to say the younger generation to find someone that is somewhat influential to pretty much help you, I guess, get in touch with the rest of the youth to really make a difference. Do you do that purposely?
I do a lot of techniques, really, but primarily I'm the youth scout for USA, Canada, and Europe with teensinamerica.net. And so what I do is I follow these youths and I see what they're doing, the kind of work they're doing, the amount of inspiration and passion they have. And once I realize that they're doing it with genuine intent to help others, I just comment them. Never direct message. It's always comment first publicly. And I just, you know, I just say, hey, you know, my name is Coach Dave Matthew Body. I run BU Heroes Community. Then I share the hashtag. And then they research it, and I've never been told no. Because when they find out all the information, when I send them the information package and what it's about and what it leads to, these youths just jump on it.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. My phone is about to die. I totally didn't charge it.
I know. I'm prepared for this.
Man. Like, I got so, like, crazy caught up with this podcast that I just found out about. And so it's just, yeah, and I totally lost track of time.
Okay.
But I'm prepared. I'm prepared.
It's fine. We all have those moments, right? You're human. You're not robotic.
I got a question.
I got an answer.
I know you do, and I want your honest opinion, and I know that you're going to give it.
Always.
So, you said that you were originally an officer or security officer?
Security officer.
Am I correct? Okay.
/ bodyguard worker, yes.
Was that your initial dream?
No, like, my initial dream was professional wrestling. I grew up around the Hart family. I grew up around professional wrestling my whole life, and that was my dream when I was 4 years old up until my 12th concussion in 2006. I got robbed and hit in the head with a shovel three times. Yeah, I got hit in the head with a shovel three times, and I hit in the face with a glass mug, which was my 12th concussion, so I had to retire from professional wrestling in 2006 after only a year of actual training. My second passion was security, leading to a policing career. However, due to my concussions and my shoulder injuries, the chief, Rick Hansen, at the time said I wouldn't pass the medical. So I said, okay, I'll focus on security and bodyguard work and build a career out of that. And then I got my concussion in 2011, my 15th concussion, then I had to retire from that. So no, my initial passion was professional wrestling. And so, I just had to change it three times.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So I want to make sure I ask this correctly. Do you at all regret any of that? Seeing that was your first love, your first passion?
I regret not taking care of my health. Now, I went into professional wrestling with 11 concussions and I had my shoulder injuries, but my passion was just too strong, and I'm like, you know what, life's all about taking risks. So I took risks, and
gotcha,
it didn't pay off. However, what happened was, everything happens for a reason, right? At the end of the day, like, it can take a while to figure out what that reason was, and looking back on it now, I realized that it led to where I am today with going to brain injury rehab and helping the kids for 4 years at the security, or with doing security at the mall. So I don't regret any of it, except for not taking care of my health as I should have.
Which makes perfect sense.
Lesson learned.
And now you're able to teach others.
Exactly.
So is this now a new passion for you?
Ever since 2012, I've been focused on this just wholeheartedly. Like, it's just, long story short, so I had a youth that I helped. in security, and she was impregnated and her parents kicked her on the street. So when she was caught stealing, I was the officer that had to give her a banning notice and walk off property. And I had a decision to make. I had to realize she did this for a reason, and I had to figure out what that reason was to help her not make that mistake again. So I started talking to her. I just asked her, what's going on? You know, person to person here, not professional to person, like, just tell me what's happening. She said that, you know, she got pregnant, her parents took in the street, she's homeless, she has nowhere to go, so she needed food, so she stole. I was like, you know what? Human instincts kick in. I understand it completely. Mm-hmm, and unfortunately, the whole saying of there's always help out there, that's not true for everyone.
Accurate.
That's right. If that's the case, we'd all have help. We'd all have no problems. So I understood her situation. And when I was walking her off property, I gave her $20. I said, it's not much, but it's the most I can do for you right now. Take care of yourself. And then I saw her a year later, and she brought me a bunch of roses and said that she gave birth to a beautiful baby. She's growing in college, and she said it's all because of a simple gesture I did for her. So at that moment, I realized that a simple gesture can cure a difficult time for anyone. And that's where the passion came in for helping the youth. As that, like, when I felt how she felt with her success, it was just like, you know what? I want to be part of as many youth success as I can be. So that's when I made it my passion to just be there for kids and give them a voice, give them a platform, and definitely to be a hero and just help them grow. And then in essence of doing that, they'll help other kids grow with them. So it's like a giant ripple effect.
Gotcha. And so your public speaking Is that what is typically geared toward for the youth?
I do motivational speaking towards the youth at schools and public events. That's one part of it. Another part is some of these BU heroes I've inducted are personal speakers themselves. They're very, very good motivational speakers.
So some of the kids?
Yeah, like some of these kids are phenomenal. Okay. Phenomenal. For example, without mentioning names, I don't know if I should, but one of my BU heroes, he made national news because he was chased down by six youths and beat so bad they broke his neck almost. And so he overcame that battle. I have another one that had hot coffee poured down her, hair pulled. Like, these kids went through so much. And to be honest with you, some of these kids went through more than I went through. And to be quite honest, the Be Your Heroes community not only is giving these youths a platform to save lives, it saved my life because when I started hearing these kids' stories, I was like, damn, man, you guys are going through a lot. Like, you guys have to share these stories. So I actually mentor some of them to being public speakers. And now they're going to schools, and now they're going to public events and sharing their stories and speaking publicly as well. And they're doing it under the BU Heroes community banner. So it's like, my goal is to help these kids help others. And then in essence, just as many people we can go out there and speak to and help, let's do it.
I gotcha. I like that. I like that.
It's organic, man. I love it because it's so organic, because these kids are like, they have so much potential. And I hate that. Like, I hate kids when they're like, you know, don't tell kids they have potential. Because to me, that's an excuse for them to be lazy. Oh, you have potential to do this, but you're just not. So I say, you know what? You have potential, but I don't expect you to be perfect, but I expect you to put some effort in. Like, this is a two-way street. I can only help you so much. I can tie your shoes, but you got to run yourself. Yeah. And these kids understand that. Like, kids understand so much. And that's why I get so frustrated when adults are like, you know what? Kids are meant to be seen, not heard. If you actually listen to these kids, they will teach you so much. Like, being a father to my two kids, they've taught me as much as I've taught them. Like, they've taught me patience. They've taught me, hey, dad, you're stressed. Focus on your passion. Because kids just want to be, you know, they just want to be happy and have fun. There's no racism with kids. There's no stereotyping. There's no discrimination. That's all taught behavior. So, like, if you actually listen to these BU heroes tell their stories, you'll realize that age is just a number, and it's all experience. That's what gives you your wisdom. So I have youths that are so much more wise than 40-year-olds that I know because of what they went through and what they've overcome. And I think that's another reason why the BU Heroes community is working so well. It's because it's breaking down barriers for youths.
Let me ask you this then, same subject. So do you believe that you have to suffer in order to grow?
Unfortunately, we all go through suffering at some point.
Okay.
Some different levels. Some are extreme, some are minor, some are stub toes, some are lost loved ones, some are physical, sexual, verbal, emotional abuse, but we all go through something, and we're all going through something still sometimes. Like, some of us are still going through these struggles. However, at the end of the day, they always tell kids, you know, when you say I'm going through something, you have to understand how powerful that statement is when you're saying I'm going through it. Keep going through it. Right? You're going through it, which means you're not going around it, not going over it, under it. You're going through it. It's going to be hell. But I promise you that when you overcome this, the amount of strength and resiliency that you'll realize you have, you'll understand the hero you need is right within you the whole time. And that's why I teach kids, it's all about internal power voice. It's all about internal voice, internal words. It's all about overpowering the external voices, because we live in a society that's very judgmental. Very judgmental.
Extremely, yes.
And now I may get a lot of heat for this. I've got heat for this before saying it, but it's the truth. It all begins with the whole you have to share thing. So these kids are growing up and they're taught you have to share. Sharing is caring. But what it does is it gives people entitlement. They feel like because they want something, they ask for it, they should just get it. So these kids are growing up sitting there saying, well, I want that sandwich, give me a piece of it. And the kid's like, well, it's my sandwich. And the other kids, well, I'm taught sharing is caring. It's like, no, you're taking that too extreme. So there's like the parenting has changed, not the children. The parenting has changed. Parents are scared to say no to the kids. They're scared to discipline the kids. They're too busy trying to impress Sally and Joe, saying that my child's going to college, even though the child does not want to go to college, but they want to impress their friends, right? So like these youths are going through a lot of struggles, and they all start from home. And then they just build out from there. some of, these struggles these kids are going through are from their parents or from being abused from home. And that's where you got to figure out my job. My job is simply put is I figure out the why, and then I help you implement the how as a youth coach. That's my goal.
So what about you? What has been the scariest thing that you've had to personally face?
When I was diagnosed with permanent brain damage, that was because as soon as, if they would have used a different word than permanent, it may have not have been so impactful because, you know, words have power and they only have power when we design it and give them that meaning, because it's not the events that change our life. It's how we place meaning on those events. So when I got told I had permanent brain damage, I was just going through a divorce. I was going through a separation. I lost my job, lost my career. And it was a lot to basically try to overcome. And I thought, what does this mean? Like, what does permanent brain damage mean? And she's like, the therapist is like, it's constant dizzy spells, cognitive issues. I was diagnosed with ADHD in 1997. So it's like, I had so much struggle going on and it woke me up because it made me realize that the greatest wealth you can ever have in life is health. No matter what, you can have, you know, you can't make money in your hospital bed. You can't, you know, spend all that time trying to take care of your health. So that was the scariest for me. For my personal life, was that was a wake up call, because I actually became suicidal again after I was told that I had permanent brain damage, and that was a wake up call. But the scariest thing that didn't happen to me personally, but happened in a situation I was involved in, during security, we had a girl die in the upper food court. She just collapsed and was not breathing. And while she was not breathing, her son was in the shopping cart screaming for his mom. And her boyfriend was trying to beat us because he thought we were hurting her. So that was the most intense. Like, I had to calm down the boyfriend while doing CPR on the mother with the child screaming. So I had food court patrons looking and walking around. Thankfully, there was an off-duty EMS individual there, so she helped us out. But literally having someone else's life in your hands was the most stressful experience I've ever had.
Yeah, I bet that was. Oh my goodness. Like, I really wasn't expecting that answer. I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting that answer. So, okay. Let's lighten the mood up just a little bit. So, what has made you smile today? Other than me, what has made you smile today?
Other than you.
I swear to you, like, I went through like 4 interviews and like back to back, every last one. I was like, well, you did. And just, yeah. So now it's in there. It's in the question. Other than me, what has made you smile today?
Just today. Today I actually rebranded the BU Hero induction photos and I shared them all over social media, and the comments I was getting was amazing. Like, thank you so much, BU Heroes community. Thank you so much, Coach Dave. Like, I love seeing how these youths see the BU Heroes community as a platform of inspiration, because that's exactly what we are. So today it was definitely my BU Heroes.
That's what I'm talking about. That's
what, and like, you.
Really, stop that. Like, I saw you, I don't remember the pictures, but I saw your post stating that you were rebranding. So I saw that portion, but I don't remember the pictures being there. So I'm happy to look at that.
I shared the update just so parents wouldn't be like, hey, where's my beer? You know, where's my kids' photos? I was like, I'm rebranding them. And then I shared the BU Heroes collection probably about 3 hours after that. So you'll see it's my most recent post. If not, you can just go to BU Heroes Community on Facebook and you'll see all the photos there, all 67 BU Heroes. And I also have 25 BU Hero ambassadors, which are
adults.
Yeah. So basically the way it works, ages 4 to 24 are BU Hero categorized.
You work with 4-year-olds?
Correct. I actually have I have BU Hero twins who are 4 years old, and they're freaking amazing.
OMG.
Powerhouses. They're models and actresses, and they're hilarious.
Wow. I didn't mean to interrupt. Okay, you said you have 4 to 24.
Yep, ages 4 to 24 is BU Hero category, and then 25 up is BU Hero ambassadors, and I got 25 in there. Like, I got DJ Kov, who's a very popular DJ here in Canada.
Okay.
I have professional wrestler David Hart Smith. I have, you may know Greg Walker. No, okay. I have Stacey A. Cross. She's okay, a BFL ambassador. So people like that who are just very driven towards youth, I induct them. I have Taryn Murphy, Sunday Omani, some great names.
Okay.
So like it's a community driven for the youth, but it's supported by youth and adults and as well. Because like I said, these youth are inspiring adults. Like it's crazy. I had one adult say that she was tremendously inspired by a BU hero, that she changed her life just from hearing a BU hero story.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, which is, I mean, but that's normal. That's mm-hmm. completely normal. I mean, because once you're able to identify with someone else, you can then be able to make a conscious decision which direction you want to go in, whether negative or positive, whether you want to follow them or whether you say that this is not necessarily the life for me. If you can find someone that has a little inkling of what you can identify with, again, you can kind of make your own determination from there. So that makes perfect sense. I mean, being a youth and identifying with other youth, which is exactly what you said earlier, but it makes it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense.
You know, it's never the age. So when people discredit youth, it's like you're making a huge mistake because the truth be told, these youths are fixing our mistakes. They're gonna be fixing our mistakes.
They are.
Unfortunately, due to the tragic events in Florida with the high school, the school there that mm-hmm. had the shooting, mm-hmm. we now see the power that youth have, and it's I was so happy and so proud to see those youth stand up and use their voice, because the fact of the matter is every business knows this. You're successful when you go to the youth, because youth have such a powerful voice. They consider what's pop culture. They determine what's popular, what's not.
Yeah.
So the fact that these youth have been so ignored by the government for so many years, and it's like finally step up, speak out, be heard and be understood, because you have that, that power, that voice,
power. And
all these adults that have just unknowingly or even by choice ignore these youths are now going to regret it, because they're going to be the change and they're going to be fixing a lot of mistakes that we've made.
Yeah.
That's why the BU heroes are the youth of the future.
I love that. Speaking of which, this is actually great segue to my final question.
I'm good at that.
apparently. Okay. Success and happiness, I know for a fact, is drastically different for every single person.
Correct.
How do you define success and happiness?
Success and happiness. Got
and
it.
Do
okay.
you even compare the two? But but how do you define success and happiness?
Yeah, first and foremost, happiness, I believe, is a mindset that you either exit or you enter.
Okay.
And it changes throughout the day. For example, happiness, exiting the happiness mindset is going to a job you hate, or being around people you find toxic or dramatic. You exit your happiness mentality, your mindset, when you are around those individuals that you don't want to be around. Basically, you're put in something you're not comfortable with. You enter your happiness mindset when you're doing podcasts that you like to do. You're around people that you find empowering and inspirational. You enter in a happiness mindset when you do something you love, when you're around the people you love. So happiness is definitely a mindset. And the key is you have to find a way to stay within the happiness mindset to avoid exiting it. And it's all pain or pleasure. Every decision you make is by pain or pleasure. Every decision you make. It's I always tell people, you can't rely on people to make intelligent decisions. They're going to make decisions that, you just can't. The human race does not make intelligent decisions. We make emotional decisions. We attach ourselves to pain or to pleasure. For example, if you want to lose weight, you got to transfer that energy, that emotional intensity, to making losing weight pleasurable. Because what happens is people associate working out to pain. So they naturally gravitate from it.
And work.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's the exiting and the entering of the happiness mindset. Now, success. My favorite answer for success is whatever makes you feel fulfilled. Simply, it's not money. Money does not buy happiness. It buys pleasure, which means the money you're making and you're spending is either entering your happiness or exiting your happiness. For example, paying those damn bills, that exit the happiness mindset. But you enter that happiness mindset when you use your money to buy your new car. you know, you attach pleasure to materials. Success is whatever makes you feel fulfilled. And that's different for anyone. Some people are meant to be entrepreneurs. Some people are not meant to be entrepreneurs. Oh. So I tell people, like I had a friend of mine say, Dave, I don't want to be an entrepreneur, so am I a loser? No.
No.
You're not a loser. Even if you're making terrible decisions, that does not make you a loser. It just makes you unfocused or misunderstanding your life and your potential. You don't have to be anything just because, you know, Sally and Joe are. Yeah. So if you want to be truly successful, you have to drive towards fulfillment, not drive towards material garnishment, not be like, you know what, I'm not going to be successful until I have that brand new Dodge truck or that brand new cell phone. Hell no. Yeah. You're going to be successful when you drive to fulfillment. So even if you're only making 50 grand a year, but you're loving your job, you feel fulfilled, you feel inspired, then you're a winner, man.
If you hate
your job and you're not inspired and you're miserable, then you have to find what makes you feel fulfilled. And you're going to have combatants. Like, you're going to have people like, I don't like you doing that.
Yeah.
That's why I teach kids. The first thing I teach kids is how important your internal voice is compared to external voices. Other people will never make you satisfied. They'll never make you feel fulfilled. Only you can do that. Right?
You have to focus on it.
And here's an example, okay? So Instagram, you have all these youths who are scared to post photos because there's a pimple in their photo. Or their hair is not lined correctly. Now, I'm a hypocrite for saying that in a way, because I did my hair before this interview purposely.
I thought about it, and then I was just like, cutthroat. I'm not even doing it.
My hair was everywhere but where I wanted to be.
I would have posted that everywhere.
Exactly. But, you know, so many kids and so many adults are not posting content because they feel it's not perfect. Now, when you have a perfection mentality, you have a mentality that's going to make you feel unfulfilled and unsuccessful your whole life, because guess what, people, newsflash, perfection is not attainable. Only accomplishment is. You have to focus on accomplishments. Become addicted to being accomplished, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, success is 100% is when you feel fulfilled, not when someone else says you are. No one else can say, you know what, Jimmy, you're successful. And you'll probably be like, thank you. But it won't be as impactful as you saying, you know what, I'm fulfilled. So when I say, Jimmy, you're successful, okay. I'm like, but Jimmy, you look so fulfilled. You look so happy. That has more power to it.
I was going to say, even you saying it now directly to me, like not talking to me, but saying that to me now in that phrase, it does something drastically different. Like, each of those emotions for me is drastically different from saying that, hey, you're successful, or saying, hey, you look like you're freaking happy as hell. You know, right? that makes a major difference.
I'll explain the psychology to you. When someone says you're successful, the reason why they're saying that is because they feel you're successful where they feel you should be.
But when they say
you look happy as hell and you're fulfilled, it's because they're acknowledging that you're happy because you have accomplished your personal goals. You've accomplished your personal success. The goal is to be fulfilled, never successful. Because I hate to say it, but Robin Williams was very successful, financially secure, but he wasn't fulfilled. Something was missing in his life. Chester from Linkin Park, something was missing.
Yeah.
So even though they have millions of dollars, like, people are like, how are these celebrities who are rich missing something? Because you're missing the point.
Success is missing the point.
When human race was designed, we were designed to focus on passion, compassion, focus on things deeper. And then we created money. And that's where our psychology just drastically changed. Now it's all money's above people. And it's
money totally makes the world go around.
Exactly. Yeah, it's terrible when the people say, oh, money talks. Well, I wish passion talked more.
You know what? Something that you said earlier, and I don't know if you're in my mind or not.
I might be. I profile a lot. I do apologize for that.
But you used the term that you encourage the youth to listen to their inner being. Of course, for me, that's intuition. And that is the basis of this show itself, is to bring on various successful people within their own right, however they have defined success for them. But bringing successful people on to allow others, or just to encourage others, to listen to their own intuition and then to go back and define success and happiness for themselves.
Got it.
like, I honestly, like, I'm still in the corporate world, and I've been climbing the ladder, and it, the higher I go, the more I realize that there's so many companies, billion-dollar companies, that are leading that does not want to lead. There's so many people that are out here in the world that are either chasing money or chasing the fame or chasing the glory or chasing the approval of whomever they're following in whoever shadow. They're out here doing something else for someone else. And it's the craziest thing for me. I'm like, if we could just get everyone back into their rightful lane, learn how to be happy on your own terms, learn how to define success on your own terms, and then create, then go out there and lead. But I cannot fathom why we have so many people that are just off put, just completely bombarded. Like, I don't get it. I really don't get it.
It starts with the school system. Okay. The school system was created to build factory workers many, many, many years ago.
You know, I've heard that before.
Yes, it's because it's true. Yeah. You know, a case in point, Adolf Hitler was actually kicked off social work. He kicked off psychological studies. People are like, how is this individual able to control millions of people? So they started doing social work investigation. They started doing psychology. And it starts in the school. Like, when you're in school, when I was in school, I graduated in 2003. I'm that old. I'm 32 now. But when I graduated in 2000,
don't go there. I almost told you when I graduated. But I'm right there with you. We'll just leave it at that.
I combated the school system so much because it's not about learning. It's about obedience. It's not about learning. It's about, this is how you got to do it, and you do it this way. It's because when the school system was constructed, it was constructed in a way that it helped people become robotic, sheeple, help them just focus on being told what to do and then doing it. Mm-hmm. You lose the ability to think for yourself in school because that's how it's designed. Like, for example, I was in the principal's office being yelled at because I did a mathematical question and I got the answer correct. I'm just going to say that right now. I got the answer correct, but I did it in a way that I felt was more in line with how I was thinking. But because I didn't do it the way that they taught me, I was being disciplined for it. And I was like, wait a minute, I got the exact same answer as everyone else, which is correct.
Correct.
But I did it in a way that that worked for my psychology.
Your brain,
And they're like, no, you have to do it this way. That is when I realized that's where this sheeple and this robotic mindset stems from. It's you spend 12 years being told how to be obedient, being told what to do. You know, if I'm gonna get a lot of heat for this, but if you think about it, the school system is a prison system.
It is. It literally is.
You line up outside in a straight line. You can't look opposite ways. You have to look forward. You walk in as a unit, mm-hmm. and then you sit down on a desk for so many hours, and then you get outside time, also known as recess.
Yeah.
Which is time in the yard. You're watched. Yep. You're told not to do this. You're told not to do that. It's just, when you're at school from 8:15 or 8:30 till 3:15, 3:30, you're basically there to be obedient. You're not there to basically find out who you are. That's why high school is like the most rough 3 years that you'll ever have.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to find out who you are. And while you're doing that, you're being told this is what you should do.
This is what you should do.
So when you exit the school system, your mind is just completely focused on being obedient to other people but yourself. Your mind is just like, you're combating yourself. I always say that passion is natural, societal pressure is forced. And that's why you have this passion, you strive for it, but you keep backing up from it because your father or your mother or your auntie or the mailman, even, who's really opinionated too as well. So we live in a very opinionated world, but everyone's telling you, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And you're like, I got to. Case in point for me, my family knew how stubborn I am. They know when I put my mind on something, even though they hated it, like my grandparents hated professional wrestling. My grandma especially hated it. She specifically said that she would never support me, but then she started seeing something. And that's leads me to my next piece of advice is passion is the utmost conviction. When people see how passionate you are, they'll start to support you.
They will.
And that's what I tell people, like, it's so difficult to coach people nowadays because they're so focus on being obedient to anybody else, which is ironic because they don't listen to what I'm trying to say to them until I break through to them, where it's like, listen, the greatest piece of advice I can give you is every morning you wake up is a day closer to when you won't. And you're wasting so much valuable time trying to impress Sally and Joe that when you do pass away, they say on average, only 10 people at your funeral will actually cry. That's it. Just 10 people on average will cry at your funeral. So if you have 50 people there, only 10 people are going to cry and show emotion. The other 40 are there probably to say whatever, or, you know, shave face. But at the end of the day, it's that internal voice of yours. Like, it's so powerful. And I had to break my mentality of the obedience after high school by just being a rebel, saying, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. And people are like, oh, but you have to. Like, it's a job. Be thankful you have a job in the society. No, I'm not thankful I have a job in the society because I'm just following the norm.
Okay, so this is the first ever on Inspired by Jimmy L, the talk show. There was so much knowledge wrapped into this one conversation that we could not compile it all into one complete showing. So this is just simply the first part. Stay tuned for the second.
OMG. Okay, you totally just received some excellent knowledge, and I know that you loved it. If you did truthfully love it, I need your help. By all means, share this podcast with everyone that you know. Don't hold all of this knowledge to yourself. We need your ratings. We need your reviews. We need your comments, and we need your shares. But only share it, only comment, if you received some damn good knowledge today. I know that you did, so I'll wait on your reviews to start coming in. Okay, until the next one. See ya.